Scripture reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 13 to 34.
Sense of significance, sense of
Someone
identity,
in the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance between me.
Turn away from these things
Jesus
that
replied,
entice us and
Man,
distort our
who appointed
life,
me a judge or an
you,
arbiter between you?
Our Heavenly Father,
then he said to them, Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds
so
of greed.
We might become rich.
A man's life
we
does not consist
beautiful.
In the abundance of his possessions.
And so we lay our treasures before you in our heart.
The ground of
God.
A certain rich man produced a good crop.
We pray, Lord,
he
that
thought to
all
himself,
that we have is yours.
What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.
And faith,
then he said, this is what I'll do.
All to you.
I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself,
Jesus
you have plenty
name.
Of good things laid up for many years.
Well, at this
Take
time, collect offerings. So I'll
Eat,
ask the ushers
drink,
to come up. And this is
But God said to him, You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. Then Jesus said to his disciples, Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have nor storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than the birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of God.
Hey everyone, good morning. All right, can we try that again? Good morning. All right, okay. If you're visiting us today, welcome. We're so glad you're here. Coming back second, third time. Glad you're with us this morning. I think for pastors, actually today, the daylight savings, I guess Sunday, is probably the Sunday that we get nervous the most. You know, like you're kind of thinking, are people gonna able to set the, you know, clock ahead and just get nervous. Not Easter, you know, where you know, people are expecting a good sermon or even Christmas. I think it's a daylight saving Sunday. You kind of get nervous. So thanks for being here on time, able to worship. If I can just quickly plug two things really quickly. Our presider, Noel, already mentioned it. But personally, if I could ask, you know, I think when we started the second service in Tyson's, there was a feeling where, you know, the church was going to be two churches. And so we really intentionally wanted to kind of come together probably quarterly. And so retreat is one of those times when our congregation, our church will be together. And so if you miss people, if you like hanging out with people sitting next to you, and I want to invite you to come. And personally, as one of the pastors here, I think I could say from the pastoral perspective, I think it's, for us anyways, it's harder for us to kind of fellowship with you guys. Like, for instance, I preach at Tyson's, and before the fellowship time, I'm like driving or I get driven to be here, and so I miss out on kind of like the fellowship, just kind of hanging out time, and retreat is like great time for us to do that. So if you would like to fellowship with Pastor Carl and Pastor Sam, who's usually in Tyson's now, and so if you miss him and his family, retreat will be a great time for you to kind of connect with him. Okay, if you don't know him, get to know him. It'll be, you know, good time for you to get to know him. And the pastoral staff as a whole. Just quick, lastly, Easter, church calendar, Easter, Palm Sunday, baptism, Easter is pretty pretty special. It's sort of like the climax of our church calendar, and I find it a good time for us to invite friends, you know, people who might be thinking about church or people who are interested in God or learning more about the Bible. Easter Sunday is probably the a Sunday that they're most open to coming. So I want to encourage you to maybe think about people that you can invite on that Sunday. Okay, we've been looking at the Gospel of Luke, and like Gospel of Matthew and Mark, Luke takes the first half of the Gospel to show us who Jesus is. And Luke's main, I think, emphasis is he's making a case for who Jesus Christ is, that he's the Son of God. But middle of Luke, he takes a turn, and he begins to now show us, as Jesus is looking towards the cross, I think Luke's emphasis changes slightly, and he begins to talk more about discipleship, about following him and what that looks like. So it's not only building up our faith, but it's also living out our faith. And here in this section, we have his teachings on money. Now, we don't do that very often here, but we want to do it today, partly mainly because Jesus spoke about money pretty frequently. Commentators note that he spoke on money or alluded to money more than heaven and hell put together. And so it's important. And the reason why money is a crucial topic for us to talk about and think about is because money is concrete. It's tangible. So for instance, you know, we could talk, you know, we gather in our small groups and we kind of talk about, you know, God's been really blessing me. I'm changing. I'm doing my quiet time. I'm trying to read the Bible more and I'm trying to pray. And I mean, those things are great. But money actually shows us concretely how our faith is growing. Right? It's something that you can actually tangibly see, tangibly measure. And that's why we're towards the end of this whole section, Jesus says, where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. You want to know what's going on in your heart? Look where your treasure is, where your money is going to. And that's what Jesus is saying. And so it's important and it's crucial. I'm going to begin by kind of giving you the theme verse. And I think the theme verse in this section is verse 15. Jesus said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. The word covetousness means wanting more. NIV, if you have NIV, it's translated all kinds of greed. So Jesus is addressing our heart's desire to have more, right? We want to have more, and Jesus is addressing that. I want to give you three things. We'll talk about why Jesus here gives us a warning. It's a strict warning here. Watch out or be on guard. And then we'll talk about signs of our covetousness or our greed. And then we'll talk about how the gospel addresses that. Okay, number one. Now, why does Jesus here says, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness? Jesus is giving us, his disciples and people here, a strong warning. Why does Jesus do that? Two reasons. One, Jesus says, the second half of that verse, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. One, Jesus is getting at, sometimes it's easy for us to build our life, make our life about money. That's what Jesus is saying. The Bible tells us our hearts like to have idols. It starts from the Old Testament and runs all the way through the New Testament, where we like to find our identity, our sense of significance in something that will validate who we are, our existence. Now, God, our creator, our maker, our lover, our father, our savior, is supposed to do that for us. But oftentimes the Bible says our hearts reject God, and it wants to land on something that we can control. See, idols are convenient because we can control them. And here Jesus says, watch out. Because money is one of those things that you can begin to make into your idol. That you use it to give you a sense of significance, give you a sense of confidence, give you a sense of security. So Jesus says, watch out. And one of the ways I think we could kind of assess ourselves if that's happening is think about how much you're working, and if you unnecessarily work, overwork, and you're just busy working, putting in the hours to accumulate more money, that might be a sign that there is something that's going on in your heart that's not right, right? Or it might be some of you who might be working at a company or a job just because it pays more than a job that you maybe might like doing better. But you've kind of, you know, dismissed that and you maybe took this opportunity just because it pays more. But that might be a reason why, that there is something going on in our hearts, that we're making money into kind of our idol. Now, some of you might say, well, I don't know if that's me, because Jesus here does say, watch out for abundance of money. And some of you might be thinking, well, that's not me, because I don't have abundance of money, right? I'm you know, my debt, my loans, my mortgage. I mean, it's like I'm barely surviving or barely making. It's going to take another 10, 15, 20 years before I actually begin to make money. But I think what Jesus here, the whole passage, the whole section is, Jesus actually addresses, and this whole context is this person comes because, why? Because he feels like he's missing out. He most likely is a younger brother who didn't get as much inheritance from his father as his elder brother. So he comes out of a need. And so I think what the whole context tells us that it's not just the wealthy, it's actually the poor, the needy, who still can struggle with greed and covetousness and money and wealth and materialism. So Jesus says, watch out, because money is one of those things that we can begin to use to build up our significance and our idol. Second reason why he gives us this warning is, it's a bit subtle, but because money blinds us. Notice how, you know, towards the end, Jesus kind of condemns this man, or in this parable, Jesus calls him a fool. Tim Keller, a pastor, author, wrote a book called Counterfeit Gods, and he talks about how greed, this is interesting, greed, unlike other sins, can easily blind us. And this is what he means. He says that, you know, when we commit adultery, like, you know you're committing an adultery, right? I mean, you're sleeping with someone who's not your spouse. You don't wake up and say, oh my gosh, you're not my wife. I mean, no one does that, right? We know what we're doing. But he talks about how greed, it blinds us. No one feels greedy. Even those people who are greedy, materialistic, you don't feel it. Think about this. Some of you guys are in accountability groups, right? You know, you share maybe deep things and you go, you know, guys, I had a tough week. You know, I'm struggling with anger, or I'm struggling with pride, or I'm struggling with lust. Can you pray for me? You kind of hear things like that often. When was the last time you heard someone say, guys, I'm struggling with greed. I'm struggling with materialism. Can you pray? Here's my bank account. Can you pray for me? When was the last time you heard that? It rarely happens. Why? Because very few of us actually feel, we actually feel greedy. It blinds us. And that's what Jesus here says, you fool. You've been deceived all of your life. A well-known accomplished economist, a lady named Juliet Skuhr, she wrote a book called Overspent American or Overworked American. I think it's two books. And then she also teaches at Boston College. Anytime I refer to these folks, professors or teachers, I know people in our congregation or some, they might know people, so I just want to be careful that I get this person right. She teaches sociology at Boston College. Okay, so Philip, if I'm in error, you could let me know later, or other folks who are connected to that field. Okay, but she did an interview with the Atlantic magazine, and this is what she says. She says this, really interesting. She says, there is a widespread sense among the population that people have gotten too materialistic, and that's been around for a while. It's also the case that materialism is the other person's disease. So 80% of people think that Americans are too materialistic, but as you get closer and closer to them, their friends, their family, their kids, they are sort of less and less likely to think that they are materialistic. Do you see what she's saying? She's saying people generally think that Americans are materialistic. We're spending way too much. But very few people will actually admit that they're materialistic. She goes on to write, people who, by almost anyone's accounting, would be extremely materialistic and have a lavish lifestyle can be very critical of other people's materialism. We fail to see it themselves. There's a lot of inconsistency. Do you see what she's saying? She's saying, yeah, we all know, we all think that America, we spend way too much. We're a materialistic, driven country. But very few people will admit that they're materialistic. She gives an example. Even people who are rich, they look at the poor and they say, they look at the kind of sneakers that they buy or the size of TV they get and they say, why are you being so materialistic? Even the wealthy people are blind to their own greed. And that's all around us. And that's why Jesus here, I think, says, be careful, be on guard, watch out, take care. Why? Because greed can blind us. It's subtle. It kind of seeps in there. And before we know it, we're building our life on our possessions. So the question then is, how do we know? How do we assess ourselves, whether we really are greedy, whether we really are building our life on things of the world rather than things of God? I think Jesus gives us a parable, and then he gives us two pictures to kind of assess our own soul. Okay, so let me give that to you. I'm going to give you four things. One, there might be, you might be building your life on money or materialism or greed if you're not able to give your money, your resources away. Look with me. Let's read a parable in verse 16. And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barn and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, so you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. The commentators note that in this short parable, the pronoun I and my is used 12 times. So what Jesus is getting at is this person is self-consumed. I am going to build my barn to spend for myself 12 times. And Jesus' point is clear. This person is not able to give any of his money, any of his possessions away. This is for me. I'm going to make it bigger. I'm going to get it better for myself. So first sign could be that first sign of your greediness or the fact that you're building your life on possessions is that if you're not able to give away money, give away your possessions. Now, the Bible talks about tithing in the Old Testament, 10%. I think when you really look at the Bible in the Old Testament and New Testament, like the 10% is like the baseline. Now, I'm not saying that all of you should have to tithe, because I know circumstances change in your life. But what the Bible would say is, here's what God's given you. You give 10% to the Lord, and then in the New Testament, the grace of Jesus is so much greater, there should be this desire to give more. But if you're not able to do that, if you're not able to give any of your money away, then there might be a tendency or there might be something in your heart that you're gripped with material things or greed. So that's sign number one. Sign number two is anxiousness. Isn't it interesting, right after Jesus talks about money, possessions, he talks about anxiousness? Why does Jesus do that? Well, on the one hand, when we have a lot of possessions, when we're doing well, and God blesses his person, his field produces plentifully. What happens when we accumulate a lot, when we become rich, wealthy, what happens? We feel good about ourselves. There's confidence. There's a sense of significance. There's even gloating over your possessions. This is for me. I've done this. What happens when you don't have enough, or when you feel like you don't have enough? What happens? You become anxious. You become worried. But the thing is, it's the same. It's the same Cohen. It's the same. It's coming out of the same heart. On the one, the circumstances, situations are different, but it's the same heart. Things go well, you become confident. Things don't go well and you become anxious. It's the same heart, and Jesus is saying, so another sign is, are you anxious and worried about things of this life that it grips you? You can't sleep. You're worried about it. You're thinking about it all the time. If that's you, it might be a sign of your heart and what's going on inside of you. Okay? That's number two. Number three, you use money to gain a sense of security or safety. So Jesus begins to tell us a story. He says in verse 22, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat, nor about your body, what you'll put on. For life is more than food, and body more than clothing. Verse 24, consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. So what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, he's comparing the raven to this man who built bigger barns and bigger houses and bigger storehouses to store all of his stuff. And Jesus here says, look at the birds. They don't have anything. Yet God, they don't have barns. Yet God feeds them. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, if you use your possession, if your money to gain a sense of safety and security, that's one of the things that points to your heart. So this person, if you're like this, would like to save. Let's save. Save more. Save, save, save. We keep saving. Why? Because it makes us feel secure about our future, about our life. You just feel better about your future when you look at your bank account and it's doing well. And if that's it, and you're looking at your bank account and you feel like, that's right, I feel secure about my life. If that's you, there's something that's going on again in your heart that you might, there might be a sense of covetousness or greediness. Now think about this. Does money really give you security? It doesn't. It might make your life more convenient, but it won't make your life more safe. Money can't stop accidents from happening. Money can't give you good relationships, a lasting, deep relationships. Money can't keep you from getting sick. And ultimately, money can't keep you from dying. It gives you no true, real security. It makes our life more convenient, right? You know, when you have money. So when you're gathering things and saving up things and you keep saving and saving and saving and you feel like, okay, my bank account, it's pretty full, and you feel like, okay, now I'm safe. And what you're doing is you're trying to avoid all these things from happening from your life, and you want to feel safe and secure. It's false hope. So that's what Jesus says. Consider the ravens. They don't store up their barns, but God feeds them. Lastly, Jesus says, consider the lilies. And it's, you know, verse 27, consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. What's Jesus saying here? I think he's saying that look at the flowers. They're beautiful. That God clothed them. Sometimes we use money to feel secure. Other times we use money to feel beautiful. If you not save, 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 but you spend, spend, spend for yourself, whether it's clothing or something to make yourself more beautiful, there might be a problem in your heart. Right? So it could be your saver, you want to feel secure, or it could be your spender. Not to give it away, but you spend it yourself so that you feel more secure. You feel beautiful. You feel worthy, respect from other people. If that's you, that's also, you're also placing money at the center of your life, right? So whether you can't give your money away, whether you are anxious about money, whether you use money to gain sense of security and safety, whether you use money to gain beauty and popularity, those are all connected. It's growing out of a heart that's putting money at the center. I mean, we know that the one of the beauty, I mean, I think about, you know, when all of us were a teenager once. I mean, you try to put on the best thing and best clothes so that you might gain popularity. Right? Any teenagers here? Oh, yeah, there's some. So maybe that you guys could relate to me more. Levi and Ephraim. Maybe Ephraim's not. Oh, anyways, okay, I'll move on. Sorry. I was thinking about my kids. But that's what we do even as adults, right? We use money to gain things so that we might feel better about ourselves. So whether you save or spend, you can't give it away. You feel anxious. It's all related to a heart that's building our life on things of this world. Now, how do we overcome these things? Because I think in many ways, it affects all of us. This is all of us, you know, in our hearts. We want to feel safe. We want to feel significant. It's hard to give money away radically. We might give away a little bit, but not enough when it hurts us, right? I mean, you know, whether you're wealthy or you're not wealthy, it's easy perhaps to give a portion away, but when it cuts into your convenience, it's hard. But look what Jesus here says. Later it says, verse 33, sell your possessions and give to the needy. And he talks about how becoming rich towards God and seeking the kingdom of God first. I mean, how do we do that? How do we actually become people who are impacted by God, the gospel, and where we can use our money as a tool to further God's kingdom rather than to build up our own life? I think the key, so this is my third point, the key is faith. Jesus, after telling this parable, Jesus calls this person a fool. In the biblical language, fool is someone who has placed God outside of their worldview. So this person is living life apart from God and who God is. And then later, after telling the story about the ravens and the lilies, Jesus says, oh, you have little faith. So what's key? What do we need to live this out? We need faith in two ways. One, we need faith to know that God cares for us. This whole section is talking about, you know, look at the ravens, look at the lilies. God takes care of them. At the end of verse 28, it says, oh, you little of faith. And then verse 30, your Father knows that you need them. I mean, Jesus here is saying, consider these things. Know that your God, your Heavenly Father, cares for you. Last Sunday, we talked about how all of us are orphans, spiritually orphans, but God has brought us into His family. Now we're adopted. God loves us. Now think about it this way. I try to help us to kind of think about it, okay, the love of God for us, how much God cares for us. Okay? Think about, your parents and how much they care for you. And think about an event that reminds you of their love for you. Okay, just think about an event. For me, as you think about your event, one event came to my mind. It's when I was in college, my junior year. I was not doing well. I was burnt out from serving and just like really discouraged and depressed, I would say. And I remember I was in my dorm room and I was talking to my parents and I just said, "Oh, it's been hard." About 5 hours later, there was a knock on the door. I opened the door. It's like my mom there. And she bought me food. I was like, Mom, what are you doing here? She said, I wanted to come by and give you some food and make sure you're okay. And then, you know, and she prayed for me and kind of she left. The 5-hour drive. She came and then she went back up. For me, when I think about that, I'm like, okay, that's like a concrete love or care. Think in your life, think about just your parents or people in your life that displays concrete love for you. As you think about that, look, I want to read a verse for you from last Sunday. You don't have to turn to it, but it's Luke chapter 11. It says, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give? Wait, pause there. Did you catch that? Jesus calls our earthly father, earthly mother's devotion to us evil. Why would Jesus do that? I think what Jesus is getting at is, he said, compared to God's fatherly, heavenly, cosmic, eternal, unbreaking, covenantal love for you, your fatherly love, your earthly father's love, your earthly mother's love doesn't compare. It's going to feel evil. It's evil in that comparison. Think about that. And what Jesus here is getting at is, why are you worried about what you're going to eat? Why are you worried about your beauty? What are you about your security? Why are you worried about these things? Why are you trying to store up all these things for yourself? When you know that your Heavenly Father deeply cares for you. If we are going to be unleashed from the bondage of self, we need to know that this is our Father's love. The Father cares. That's what Jesus here says. You fool, or you of little faith. Where's your faith? Do you truly believe that God, the Father, loves you this much? Look at the birds. Look at the flowers. They don't worry. They don't care. There's no anxiousness. But God cares for them. But how much more will your Heavenly Father love you and care for you and meet your needs? We need to have faith. We need to have faith in God's heavenly fatherly love for us. That when compared to our earthly parents' love, it doesn't compare. It doesn't compare. That's what Jesus is getting at. So we need faith to know, believe, experience the Father's love, our Heavenly Father's love. Second thing is, here, we need to have faith in God's gift to us. And let me just read verse 32. It says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And then he goes on to say, "Sell your possessions and give to the needy." Jesus here says, your Heavenly Father is delighted to give you the kingdom. When we are brought into God's family, God's given us kingdom. We're sons and daughters of God. We're sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father, our King. And what Jesus here is getting at, God has given you the kingdom. God has given you something that will last forever. God has given you His fatherly love. You have all that you need. That's what Jesus, and Jesus says, and it's His delight to give this to you. And we need to believe, we need to have faith in that. That God, what God has given us already in Christ, it outweighs all of the stuff that we desire and we want here. And I think we need to kind of like really hold on to this. I was thinking about how it's kind of how once in a while our family plays Monopoly, and I just imagine like my kids. They don't do this anymore, but I think when they were younger, we were playing, and then let's say one of my kids, like my son, won, and he's holding on to the money really tight, his Monopoly money. "Yes, I won. Look at all that I have, and look at my houses and all this, what I built." And he's always going to tell, I say, "Hey, son, it's time to clean up. It's the game's done. It doesn't matter how much you have." "No, Dad, look at what I have. It's like $2,559 or whatever." And he's always going to tell, "Son, no, that's fake money. It doesn't last. It's time to clean." He doesn't get it. "Oh, no." What Jesus is saying is, that's us. We're playing with fake money in some sense. We can't hold on to it tight. It's not going to last. And Jesus just says, your Heavenly Father has given you the kingdom. Something that will last forever. I mean, do you believe that? Do you believe that you've just begun your life? Now you're playing with Monopoly money. Your life just begun, but if you believe in Christ, your life will last forever. And Jesus here says, I've given you this. Don't be fixated on this. And once you fix our eyes on this, we can begin to release some of this stuff. We need to understand, believe God's gift to us, that He has blessed us with all the heavenly blessings in Christ. We need to hold of that. I mean, it's, C.S. Lewis talks about how kids, it's like us playing in mud. and we're like contemplating in mud when like the most beautiful spa resort is available to us, right? I mean, that's the picture. The way that we can utilize money to become rich towards God and like live radically like this, sell your possessions, give to the needy, is when we begin to realize that we already have all we need and we are rich beyond measure. Now, how do we know that? What does the Bible say? Well, the Bible says, the verse that I like is 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. It says, "This is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for our sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich." What is he saying? He's saying Jesus, with all of his glory, his wealth, his riches, he left all of that and became poor for us, so that through his poverty now we might become rich. The word princes and princesses in the kingdom of God, that's who we are. And when we get to hold on to that, we can begin to live like this. We can seek his kingdom first. We can give things away. And we can become rich towards God. This is who you are, friends. Let's apply that into our hearts so that we can live in line with the gospel. Let's pray, and then we'll close our time. I want to give us a minute to just pray, and maybe more than just thinking about money, let's just meditate and think about our Heavenly Father's love for us. That, you know, He cares for us deeply. He will meet our needs. He has given us His kingdom. Let's rest in that and take hold of that and allow that to sink into our hearts so that we can then respond by living for Him and becoming rich towards Him. Give us a minute to do that, and then I'll pray for us, and then we'll close our time.